going back.
It's none of their business. It's none of their business. What kind
so
of guy?
So back in the 1930s, when they outlawed Tommy
guns, money, and they won't have anything over you anymore.
One down our throat. And how about worldwide gun
restrictions? Who swore an oath?
In a federal constitution, you would expect them to disobey that order. How would that work?
That's correct.
Welcome back, my fellow Americans, to the Sheriff Mac Show, simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live. Man, have we got a show for you today. The good Sheriff Richard Mack is not with us. He had a conflict. He's speaking in South Carolina, and travel plans and everything else created a conflict. But nevertheless, I've got the fort today. I'll take good care of you. No worries whatsoever. We also have the Sheriff's Posse coming up a little later today. If you're not a member, go to cspoa.org and become a member today. And then they'll let you into the posse and you can check that out. We got some interesting stuff. Sam Bushman, Jack Mullen will be in the posse today, along with hopefully a surprise guest. I'm working on that as well. But for now, I got a little summary of Sheriff Mack's Supreme Court case. There's a lot of really great nuggets in there that Antonin Scalia wrote in his winning decision for Sheriff Mack over Bill Clinton back in 1997. It's a court case that's 25 years old now. But remember, that court case quotes other court cases documenting the point I'm about to make, which is Antonin Scalia, the late Antonin Scalia, highlighted this dual sovereignty reality. The general government has plenty of authority in their very limited, delegated, documented scope via the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. The states, on the other hand, have much broader authority. Anything that's not designated to the federal government, to the general government, is left to the states and to the people, respectively. That dual sovereignty is what I'm highlighting today as one of the important reality checks in Sheriff Mack's Supreme Court case. However, ladies and gentlemen, whatever the general government has authority to be responsible for, the states have responsibility as well. So even they have dual sovereignty, there is some overlap, right? Because the general government has authority to work in the several states under certain conditions. That is the quintessential point. And thus, our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Brooks County, Texas Sheriff Rubino, or Benny Martinez. Sheriff Martinez has served the county of Brooks since 2009. And you know what? He's been around for a long time in law enforcement, since 1979 as a state trooper. He's been involved in all kinds of things. Criminal laws, motor vehicle crashes. In 1990, he joined the narcotic services area, where he basically worked really hard to stop criminals. But one of his real, in my opinion, valuable points that he makes is, not only do we got to stop the drugs, but we've got to train people about how to live without them, how to live life successfully. Anyway, he did that from 1990 to 2008, then he retired. And then he became sheriff of Brooks County in 2017. Sheriff Benny Martinez, welcome to the Sheriff Mack Show, sir.
Thank you.
You've done so much in your career, it's kind of hard to even know where to focus, Sheriff. But the highlight for you really is, in 2012, Brooks County has become center stage in the middle of the busiest corridors for illegal immigration ever. You guys had to cut staff in 2012, cut janitorial services, but as you said, you made it through. You guys have been working on this. That became your one of your biggest issues when you became sheriff, right?
That's correct. In 2012, that's when we kind of hit the bottom. We're right in the middle of this corridor. You know, we have a checkpoint in Brooks County, one of the busiest checkpoints in the Southwest Corridor, and that leads to people, to these illegal migrants walking across the private ranch lands, and that becomes a big issue for all the private ranches that we have out here in Brooks County.
Now let's talk about this. Why did 2012 become kind of a pinnacle low point in this battle, if you will? And when I say battle, I mean to deal with drugs and illegal activity and deal with the flood. I don't mean that some of these people are bad people. Some of them may be good people. That isn't the point. The problem is it overwhelms your county, right?
Well, absolutely. It started probably just because of the shift. Everyone talked about the shift back when it was up in the Arizona, California area, up in those corridors. Then they shifted down to Texas, to specifically South Texas. The fact is, we're about 70 miles north of the river, so that's what makes this kind of like a critical infrastructure for this type of issue around the checkpoint to circumvent it.
Now, why do you think the shift happened? Did they crack down harder in the San Diego, the California, Arizona areas?
Well, absolutely. That's when the application of the technology and manpower, boots on the ground. All those components put together, like they should do it now here in the South Texas area. It was done up in that Arizona area, and they just shifted down. These transnational gang members or transnational groups that run these groups, run these people, they know how to shift. They know how to work. They have all the... They just sit back and figure out what we're going to do before they move to make the next move.
Why do you think there's such massive immigration happening? And it seems like it's ever increasing, right?
Well, my thoughts are simple. The rhetoric, this administration rhetoric, that's all it is. They're saying, come on, and they're coming. And this is why you have all these big issues, as in El Paso, for instance, or here in South Texas. That's the rhetoric, and they're trying to get in before they really shut everything down, where they're going to have to.
So they kind of create a herd mentality of panic, saying, I better get in while the getting's good.
There you go. That's it. That's what they're thinking, plain and simple.
Now, let me make this point. I don't believe in partisan politics, sir, so I don't care about Democrat or Republican. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because you're a Democrat, and so is the president. But you feel differently on this issue, right?
Well, absolutely, because the rule of law, that's what I've been doing for 44 years, and we're definitely not there right now.
Now, this is not a Democrat-Republican. It's maybe turned into that, sadly, but it's really not about that, is it?
No, it's not. It's not about that.
What is it about for you? The rule of law, but you know what? Some are going to say a lot of good people want to come here.
Well, you have the good people that come here, but they come into the port of entries. Anything besides the port of entries is illegal entry. That's just simple. We have to think of it that way. They're being driven by these gang members that are pushing them through here. Not narcotics coming through between the port of entry, even contrary to what Congress might say, that it's only come to the port of entry because that's the only place where you get your metrics. You get metrics when you put your hands on something, then you can say, I have it, here it is. But you don't get those metrics between the port of entry.
All right. It seems like this problem's getting worse. Donald Trump, to some degree, did a good job to slow it down and bring attention to the issue. I appreciate what he accomplished, but it wasn't enough, was it?
No, it wasn't enough. It was, you know, for instance, us, you know, in the last, we have had over 200 recovered bodies, illegal bodies. Discovered in our brush, in our private lands, over 200 in 24 months. I believe that's just the fact that they're listening to this rhetoric and they're coming across thinking that it's a safe passage.
It's an issue that's become too partisan. It should be about the rule of law, but there is a way to change this, though. There's a way to shut the illegal door, and then there's a way to let people come legally, people who could get sponsors, people who could demonstrate they're not criminals, people who would come for the right reasons. There's a way to go about this without just amnesty, all or nothing kind of a discussion. Why are people so polarized? How do we get to a real discussion?
Well, the real discussion for me as a law enforcement is we have to shut this border down. We have to clean it. We have to put structures up there. We have to maintain it first. Then we go to the next phase, which is, okay, all those people that are coming in, let's find out who they are. There's three issues that I work with here. The national security issue, I have a public health issue, and a humanitarian issue. Those are the three issues that I have, and I'm only 70 miles north of the border. So,
all right, I want you to repeat those. I want you to repeat those, please, because I want people really to understand. These are the core issues, sir. Go ahead.
The issue that I work is the national security. We have a lot of hardened criminals that are filtering through the brushlands. The second is public health. During this COVID issue, since all these bodies that we recovered, this illegal immigrant bodies that we secured We have tested them for COVID. Over 20% of them were COVID positive. They were in the group, which means the COVID continued. That spread continued into the United States. The third issue, humanitarian issue, the fact that they're dying out here, and we have to recover the bodies because they belong to the locals. They don't belong to the dead. They're deceased. So that becomes a local issue.
Now, sadly, a lot on the liberal side complained that Donald was just a racist and that he hated Mexicans or that he hated immigrants or something like this or that. It isn't about race or ethnicity either, is it?
No, it's not. Again, that's just the rhetoric. The people, those naysayers, that's what they're going to come up with stories. They're going to come up with rhetoric that people are going to believe. You know, I've been here. I was born and raised here in this county. We had these type of folks that would come by and work. They were hard workers. I get that. But it's got to be done legally. It's got to be online.
Do you believe we'll ever come together on this and get it right? I think it's doable. I just think we've got to jettison the politics. We've got to jettison the partisan reality. We've got to jettison this idea that it's a racial or an ethnicity discussion. And we've got to come together and say, look, we're not going to allow the rule of law to be violated, broken, undermined, manipulated. We're not going to fall for rhetoric. What we're going to do is we're going to close the illegal door. We're going to then prioritize people based on reality. A lot of the people who came here as children, you know what? It's no fault of their own they're here. It may be the only life they know, right? We've got to look at these, you know, but the problem is you start talking about any different groups of people trying to classify, hey, where could we start? And then they want to say, oh, it's amnesty all the way around, poisoning the well, right?
That's correct. You know, I even have some of these females that get raped while they're walking through the brush. No one talks about that. I have several.
Say that again, because this is the point Donald Trump made, and he got mocked for it, right?
Yes. We rape as it filtering through the brush, and no one. So when and then they become victims. I utilize through their immigration attorney. I'll approve the U visa so they can stay in the United States. Of course, we're never going to find the assailant because it's never going to happen. But it's occurring. So we need to understand that. They become victims.
And let's be very clear. It's just as bad for them to become victims as it is the citizen of the United States to be a victim. Because look, we're all God's children. We're all people. People's rights and people's dignity and people's protection matter. That's the purpose of government, sir.
That's correct. I mean, you really hit it because it's one of those issues where we all have to come together and sit down and have a serious conversation if they can do so. All right now, everything is spread out because everybody has their own agenda and their own words.
All right, now, you have a big problem, especially in your county. And the reason that you're one of the, in my opinion, premier experts on this topic is, one, you've grew up there your whole life. Number two, you've been in law enforcement and watched and fought against the drug trade, even going undercover as part of your career to deal with the illicit drugs and to try to stop that. But you also have a unique position because you are along the greatest immigration corridor the world has ever known, really. But you're not classified as a border county, so you can't get the resources that you even need. So they basically leave you in a very precarious position, right?
Well, that's correct. And funding is provided by the governor's office. Actually, that's where we get our funding from. And back in 2012, we had a conversation with Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst at the time and Governor Perry, and the funding started being provided by the governor's office.
Well, that's a start, and I appreciate the efforts, but what we really got to do, though, is get you declared as a border county. So that real funding can come even from the general level. And that's where I started out talking, Sheriff, about the dual sovereignty of the United States. The general government has responsibility here. They're the biggest, I don't know what you want to call it, violator, the biggest failure to show up at the table, right?
No, I've been called a fearmonger by some of them, you know, that I'm just instilling fear. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to actually put the facts in front of you and deny the facts. So you're pretty much just gonna have a reasoning to kind of feel better as to what you're saying you're going to reason the false thoughts that they might have, and, you know, the lying part. Okay. That's how you get to this rhetoric. You develop reasoning and it's chaotic after that.
But what if we just step aside and say, look, I'm not talking about anything but the rule of law. I'm not talking about anything but the protection of life, liberty, and property for all. And whatever our policies are, we need to advocate for that and do the best we can for everyone. Let me say that again. Everyone involved, sir. Is it that complicated?
No, it's not. You just have to have the right common sense to do this. That's all it takes. It's common sense to reach in. And that's not, they're not even doing that.
Is the governor and our other county sheriffs willing to help you become a border county, or in a way get the funding and the support from the general, the federal government that you need? Is there an effort to really make that happen besides your efforts?
Yes, there is. It's really getting a lot better than it was back in 2012. Absolutely. It's getting better. There's been a lot of attention on our crisis, on our issues.
All right. Now, I know that Joe Biden, everybody's been mocking him for not being willing to come to the border. Then last December, he came to the border. He didn't really meet with any of the immigrants. He didn't meet with a lot of people he should have met. He kind of came and skirted the issue. He knew it was the easiest time to come to the border because it's winter and because that's the lowest numbers of immigrants at that time frame or whatever else. It seemed to me like he tried to check a box, but not get the job done. I don't mean to turn this into rhetoric, but I'm trying to make a point about we need attention from all officials, from the most local to the whatever you want to call it, highest levels of government that we can get. We don't need that kind of game playing that he checked a box but didn't really dig in and figure out what could be done to improve the situation, right?
That's correct. I have, you know, he's the president of the United States, and he is. I'll respect that office. But the fact is, he's really not doing much on this issue at all, period. I met with the secretary, I think, on two different occasions. I kind of visited with him and told him what I needed in Brooks County specifically to save lives. That hasn't happened. So where are we in all this? Okay, a lot of words being said, but no actions behind it.
Why do you think the president wouldn't be interested in this? I mean, of all the responsibilities he has as president, the borders are one of the general government's responsibilities. I mean, this to me is one of the core functions of the legitimate proper role of the federal government, right? This is one of their to-do list.
Well, that's correct. But I mean, who's behind him though? Who's really running the government? Who's behind all this? I can't see him being behind this. You know, number one, we do supply a lot of money for all these countries, yet there's no accountability on that. Why can't we hold their countries receiving? All right, we have to account for everything we receive.
Do you think there's any way to get the audience to make progress, or do you think it'll take a different president, a different administration? How do we get to the people behind the president that could really make a difference here? How do we get dealing with some of these other governments? Right. In other words, I hear that all these immigrants are coming from, say, Venezuela. They eventually, you know, go into the borders of Mexico, then they go through Mexico, then to our borders. But there's a whole train that seems to go from country to country to country, as if this is a quid pro quo or some deal to let this happen. Right.
Well, that's absolutely, because the United States resolved this issue. You know, they're pretty much pushing them on the Mexican border. Not even Mexico really is providing a whole lot of assistance in this issue. So it's a lot larger than just any certain body can handle. There's a lot of countries that need to come together in this issue.
We could demand it, but we don't. What resources do you need then? When you meet with the president or you meet with some of these leaders and the governor and some of these people, what do you need the most to deal with this? Is it just funding or is there a lot more?
We had a couple of aerostats that were here in Bruce County that were definitely needed. They removed the funding. Okay, I don't get this. There's a lot of funding being provided for the NGOs to sustain the people they're taking care of, but yet we can't sustain the aerostats that's going to help our Border Patrol to do the work they're supposed to. Now we're giving drive-throughs to the private ranch lands, literally vehicles loaded with vehicle driving through ranch lands, cutting locks and tearing down fences because we don't have the resources. We don't have the manpower, neither because they're all out processing. So we need to realign this and get back.
How much area or land area do you have to patrol and what kind of staff do you have to do that?
We have 944 square miles, all private ranch lands. Okay. We don't have, but usually one guy working per shift at night. And that's usually
for how many miles?
944 square miles.
Whoa, that's huge.
Yes, it is. It's populated as Manhattan, for instance. Okay. But ranch lands are private and they deserve to be protected.
Are the ranchers willing to help or do they just want somebody else to solve the problem? How much of a partnership do we see?
Well, the partnership is there and it's an awesome partnership because they need us as we need them. We need their collaboration. We collaborate very well with all the ranch lands, the ranch owners. We collaborate with Border Patrol. We collaborate with DEA entities that need to be on board. They're on board. It does help that they know who I am. They know how I work. So that's a positive thing. But we definitely need resources here. We need the boots on the ground. We need the technology, just like anyone else, just like along the border. Even though we're 70 miles north, just the fact that we have the checkpoint and it serves its purpose, that's what we need. That's the boots on the ground, the technology, and the resources to go with it.
What about the Border Patrol agents? I know a lot of them are getting discouraged. A lot of them are quitting. A lot of them just feel overwhelmed that they feel powerless to do anything about it. How do we give them the support and courage and hope that they kind of need? I mean, that makes a difference too, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way the government, the federal government is operating. There's very, it kind of leaves you just out there in the cold and you become the bad person. You become that person that hurts someone else all of a sudden. It's all turning around back on law enforcement, on those that want to keep the peace and trying to follow the rule of law. It's all turning back on them. And that's a sad thing.
One of the narratives that I think we really need to share across the country is that every county is going to become a border county, with some of the governors transporting illegals to different pockets in the country, with the general government doing the same thing, depositing immigrants so they can handle the flow. But really, every county is becoming a border county. Isn't that the reality, too, that most people may not realize?
That is correct. A task force, so to speak, that runs all the way, almost 3 hours north of us, all the way to Harris County. And we're getting just as much traffic out there as I do down here on this end. Another back up doors, San Antonio area, Bear County, another three hours from here. They're getting the same type of traffic. It's out there. The traffic is there. We just need to keep working at it, enforcing the law. That's all it is to it in our end.
Do you think that we're just going to, I mean, if this just gets worse and worse and worse and worse, the borders have always been very dangerous, sadly, but true. I mean, if you go look at the El Paso border, for instance, or some of those places, Juarez on the other side of the border, very big city, a lot of poverty. I don't mean that in a negative way towards the people. A lot of them are great, wonderful people. They just haven't had opportunities. I get all that. At the same time, the border towns have been controlled by the cartels, et cetera, et cetera. Is this just going to be pretty soon the whole country's just overrun and it's just all dangerous everywhere in the United States? Are we going to get there? Or are we going to come and wake up and smell the roses to some degree?
Well, you know, I testified just a couple of, I said, listen, we need to let the federal government, those on the ground, work. Gloves up. They know what to do. They know how to handle things. Let them work. Quit applying policies that's going to interfere with them working. And that's all they're creating right now. This administration is creating hurdles after hurdle to keep them from working. That's what gets them so depressed and just want to retire when they shouldn't be retiring.
What about the drug cartels? How much of this is just the United States government isn't insisting on the policies and providing the funding we need and the boots on the ground and the things we need? How much of it's that versus how much of it's drug cartels and human trafficking cartels, if you will?
Well, the cartels, they're going to be there. They control. They're already vetted. They're inside. They're no doubt there. Okay, because I did it for many years. We definitely need to go after them and get them under control, which we can. Don't let us do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay there. Brooks County Sheriff in Texas with me, Benny Martinez. We're talking about the border, a crisis situation. We've got a whole lot more, folks, and there are solutions, by the way.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTZHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Sheriff Benny Martinez. Since 2012, Brooks County, Texas, have been one of the busiest quarters for illegal immigration in the United States. You know what? The events of the trafficking nearly bankrupt the county back in 2012. It's getting a little bit better, but the problem is the stakes, sadly, seem to get higher every year. Here's what Sheriff Martinez had to say about it. It was rough, but we made it through. We were able to find help from both sides of the aisle. Democrats and Republican representatives who really step up to the plate and came through for us. The partner that's missing in action is the federal government. And now, this last weekend, folks, you realize it has really reached fever pitch. Even though sometimes the mainstream media folks focus on it a little bit, then you get kind of wind of what's going on a little bit. They don't really level with you. They don't give you the real deal on the ground, but it flashes in and out of the news. But it just flashed up this last weekend, which we'll get into in a second. But you know what? Brooks County is a very unique county in that it's far enough from the border to claim it's not a border county. But yet, you know what? It is, because it's one of the biggest corridors used for illegal immigration in the country. So Sheriff Benny says, quote, I'm talking about this county being classified as a border county so that it can get the resources that it needs. That's the issue, folks. We have a problem in America where there's a disconnect between what this is. It's not a racial issue. It's not a partisan issue. This is a protection of life, liberty, and property issue for not only the American people and the landowners, but even for the illegals, for the folks that come here. Many of them want a better life. We get that. But many of them are criminals. Many of them commit acts of violence and crime and rape and pillage and plunder that harms life, liberty, and property to even those who are trying to seek a better life. And that's why we've got to work on this, folks. The Daily Caller just reported last week or weekend that hundreds of migrants attempted to storm the border and enter the United States via the, what is it called, Paso del Norte Bridge in Juarez, Mexico on Sunday afternoon, according to U.S. officials, and video of the event. Let's show this video really quick, and then we can have Sheriff Martinez respond. There you have it. Sheriff Martinez, do you want to respond to this?
This issue that the government is doing right now, where they get on an app or whatever it is that they're supposed to do, and then get their name called out, and they do only, what, 50,000, maybe, whatever, in a month or so. These people don't have to wait. They don't have to stand there in Mexico and wait. You know, who wants to wait? If they can just get on U.S. soil, they'll be fine. So that's what happened. I can see that happen, and I'm sure there was an instigator somewhere in there in that midst of all that to make that happen, because it can be very, very harmful, because you have little ones in there too, small child. You have a lot of that family units in there, so it can be hard on law enforcement on the other end.
Meaning that you've got to kind of deal with kid gloves when it comes to families, but at the same time, you've got such a mix. You've got hardened criminals with families, with children. But they say this, our contact in Juarez, Mexico, tells us that a massive group of at least 1,000 migrants just attempted to rush a port of entry in El Paso in an effort to get into the United States. Video shows the details, which we just saw, but then pushing past the Mexican side of the Paso del Norte Bridge, etc. This is an example where, why do we have a policy that says if they touch foot here, they can supposedly stay here? I know amnesty has something to do with it, but this is all mixed up, sir.
It is. Again, the wording that said, whatever's been filtered out there in terms of the of what can happen once they get to the U.S., they're just trying to get their feet on U.S. soil, because they know to report to court, you know, 3 or 4 years later, and get themselves vetted in the U.S., and they get lost. They're going to get lost in the transition. That's it. Simple.
Now, the problem is our Border Patrol folks, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers, had to be in riot gear to deal with this thing. This isn't just like a peaceful, hey, please let us in, we're having a peaceful discussion thing. This is they're forcing their way into the country. How do we expect them to keep our laws if they get into the country breaking our laws and we allow it? In other words, there's a disconnect there as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Again, it goes back to all these countries that they filtered through that would need their assistance to stop them. And that's what happens when you don't stop something at an early stage. That's the end result. Now you're going to have to be very forceful at our port of entry and put our federal agents, men and women, in jeopardy, because they're coming at them in masses. So how do you? Someone will get hurt. If some didn't get hurt, I'm surprised it didn't. So that's what happens when you don't.
All All right, we're losing you a little bit there, Sheriff. We're dropping your audio. But on the El Paso Norte Bridge or whatever, officers had to stand behind concrete and plastic barriers topped with barbed wire to deal with this thing. Folks, the migrants, who are various nationalities, mainly were Venezuelans, they were demanding that they get access to the United States. Some of the migrants could be heard on videos claiming that, hey, the asylum application process that was launched recently was not working properly. But hundreds of migrants gathered, they need to call them illegals, gathered on the Mexican side of the bridge, and they knew this would be a problem. A local Los Angeles TV group captured it on video, which we just saw. But folks, they had to use what they call port hardening measures to deal with this. Why don't we have port hardening measures in place all the time, Sheriff?
We need those, especially for instances like this. You have to be prepared, and they knew that was happening. And that's just where you have to get all these countries to come notify and make this thing stop. It's not happening, and we're not helping ourselves neither. We're allowing this to happen. We're permitting this to happen.
Now, here's what I find interesting. The headline, or the line in the article says this: U.S. Customs and Border Protection used port hardening measures to temporarily stop the group from entering, the agency said in a statement to the Daily Caller. Now, my question is, what do you mean temporarily? So they're just going to come back and get in a few hours later when the focus isn't there? Is that the deal?
Well, we have to do, the federal government has to do to protect the port of entries, and that's one of them, okay? And this is what's going to happen when they take that type of action on people. All of a sudden, we're going to be the bad folks again. The federal government, those that are on the boots on the ground that actually meet, see these people and touch these people, they become bad because they're doing what they're supposed to, which is to protect the country.
Now, they say this too. I find this fascinating. While it's unclear what caused the rush on Sunday, the attempt to cross in mass comes amid a record surge in migrant encounters across the southern border. This surge just seems to continue to escalate and swell. I mean, I know it ebbs and flows some, but overall it's just increasing, is it not?
Absolutely. And it's going to continue to increase because of what the rhetoric is being told. You have just, they just want to, don't want to admit that we do have a problem. And they come up with reasonings about the problem. And they convince themselves and they convince others that we're, that law enforcement are the bad folks, that they need help. They need to get protected. Well, that's why they have their own government to protect them. This is why we supply funding for them.
They say that the group was posing a threat for such massive push of entry. Now, I also find this interesting. In 2022, they encountered more than 2.3 million migrants at the border. That's a massive amount for one year, 2.3 million. How many get in and how many illegals do you think we have in the country right now? Any idea?
Well, you don't talk about the getaways. You don't talk about those that we miss, those that come in between the port of entries. We don't talk about that because you can't put a metric on that. You can't put a number. So there's more than that, I can assure you. Because that we're not even touching.
Any idea how many illegals we think are in the country, though? I mean, they used to tell us there were 12 million. But that was years and years and years ago. Now I'm guessing there's got to be 35, 40 million.
I wouldn't have an idea. Just trying to guess would be crazy. But there's plenty of them already that we're taking care of. And we need to take care of our own folks that need assistance here in the United States.
Mexico and a lot of these other countries have the ability to take a lot of these immigrants too. Why don't we share the load?
Can you repeat that part? I didn't quite get that.
Yeah, Mexico has the ability to keep a lot of the immigrants as well. They have a lot more resources than maybe some of the countries that are in greater poverty and greater gangs and problems in their countries. Mexico has the ability to take a lot of these immigrants too. Why aren't they helping share the load?
Well, they don't want to. They just there because they're being controlled by the cartel. They're being told what to do, what not to do, who to send, who not to send. They control everything. The cartel controls the whole frontera, the border, to either keep it running or shut it down. It's to their own benefit.
How concerned is the governor? Because the governor could declare a state of emergency in all 243 counties or whatever it is in Texas. He could declare a border emergency. He's made some statements, but he's never gone far enough to really declare this as it ought to be, has he?
Well, we do have some right now that's going to units to specifically work along the border. That's just in the makings. It just came out Friday that they presented that. So there's a lot of moving parts to get that done. And I think it'll help all of us. It'll help the whole state of Texas. We do have 254 counties in Texas alone. So it's a large state. And I think the implementation of that would work for all the sheriffs. But again, a lot of moving parts, a lot of meetings, committee meetings, and through yet.
Do you think the governor's genuine about trying to get a handle on this? Because what I find fascinating is that there seems to be enough of us who really care and who really want to get the job done and don't believe it's a racial discussion or an ethnicity discussion or anything like that or a partisan discussion. There's a lot of us, I would think enough of us, that really think it's just an illegal versus legal problem and that there's ways to come to the table and really sit down and resolve it, but it never comes to fruition. Kind of who's who in the battle?
Well, there's we need to deal with, but we are moving forward, or the governor is moving forward to have the best practices in place. And I think that it'll help us at the end of the day, because at least we're going forward with this and we're not stagnated at this point. At least we're not.
Is it the closer you get to the border, the more dangerous it becomes, or is it as dangerous everywhere now?
It's the danger is anywhere. Anywhere it can happen, any place, not only in Texas or any. It's just, and if this continues, it's just going to get a little bit harder for all of us.
Wow, it's hard to know what to do about this because we just seem to be paralyzed, and I don't think we need to. You know, the current focus and attention is drawn to the abundant migration from persons all over the world. But, you know, we're trying to move towards a policy and a strategy, but I don't think the right things are being put in place. The first thing you need to do is lock the border down. Second, you need to say, okay, who's in the country now and what do we do with them? And you've got to be willing to look at them in terms of their circumstances. Take a person A who was brought across the border as a little child. They grew up here. That's all they really know is here. Right? They may have a job here. They've got a family here. They've lived here. Yes, they're not a U.S. citizen, but maybe they haven't had the opportunity to become one. It's very hard, right? Some of them, what do they call them? DACA or whatever. Some of these people, that's all they know. I don't know, especially if they don't have any criminal activity or anything on their record. We've just got to find a way forward for them, right? Can't we start with the simplest ones?
Well, what number one, you got to secure the border. I wouldn't even worry about these persons already. They're vetted that are studying to move things forward. That's not the ones we're worrying about. We're worrying about those hardened criminals that are coming across. We're worrying those that using those females, the children as a shield, so they can come across. There's a lot of things in place that we haven't even looked at. But we need to secure the border and refine ourselves as to what is it that we want to do here. Because there is a lot of moving parts that we still need to, a lot of layers in this issue.
Do you believe we've allowed a lot of terrorists into our country over the last 5, 10, 15 years as well? I mean, are they setting up cells and doing the, do we have evidence of that kind of stuff that could really harm us down the road?
I want to say yes. You know, look what happened in 9/11. I mean, they flew in.
Of course.
They just flew in. Okay. So like that through the brush. Absolutely. It can be done because there's a lot of folks that getting through. A lot of them.
I bring that up because, you know, I've been in America. I'm 55 years old. I've been in America my whole life. I've passed FBI background checks because I've had financial licenses, financial fiduciary responsibilities for mortgages and insurance and things like that. And so they've taken all my thumbprints and fingerprints and they've vetted me pretty hard. But yet if I go on an airplane, I can't take a bottle of water on an airplane. But yet we can let the border leak like a sieve. Something doesn't add up to a simpleton like me, Sheriff.
Well, of course it doesn't, because it shouldn't happen. This border is wide open, and it shouldn't happen. We should never let it get to this point. This administration, when they came in, the whole rhetoric just turned this whole thing upside down.
All right. Are we going to get an audience with the president to really discuss this? Because neither the president, Joe Biden, nor Vice President Kamala Harris, neither of them have really been willing to even discuss the border. You know, they're kind of like, hey, let me see how to get this right. Biden visited the border for a photo op, but then he declared there's no problem. The problem is, while he's saying there's no problem, what do you believe? What he says, his rhetoric, or your lying eyes, right?
That's correct. You know, there's a hearing coming up here in the Rio Grande Valley. It's an hour south of me. And I just heard that none of the Democrats want to show up for the hearing. So what does that tell you? Again, they just don't want to actually admit the issue. And they're just going to let it go by the wayside and not address it.
Right, I've asked a lot of questions, Sheriff, to try to get my arms around this and to try to help the public understand. Every county is going to become a border county soon enough because of the policies we have in place. What else do you want we the people to know, number one? And number two, what can we do to help? You know, I feel helpless. Like, I can't do anything to improve the situation, but I want to.
Well, you definitely need to look at the policies that have been provided, those policies, those that the fact that they're not letting law enforcement, and I include the federal government and those on the boots on the ground, to do the job they're supposed to do. They're real critical as to how they do the job. They have to understand that every scenario is different. As you saw the mob running across the bridge, or the Border Patrol agents on horses, they have to do the job they're supposed to. And we need to let them do the job they're supposed to. That's what keeps people back. And if we start making excuses as to, well, you can't do that anymore, you got to stop doing it. Treat them this in this fashion, well, then that really defeats the whole purpose of having any type of laws in place, or, you know, for that matter, the rule of law. I mean, that's all that we need to do is enforce that.
All right, there's another sheriff. He's in Valverde County, Texas. I think his name is Joe Frank Martinez. No relation, right?
No, sir.
But he has the same problem. He's calling it a border crisis. Texas sheriff tells how his small town is being overrun by migrants, says, I'm a Texas border sheriff, but I've got four deputies patrolling 110 miles, he says. Four sheriffs, 110 miles? You've got even more than that to deal with in this corridor. We simply need to put people on the project, I think. That's one of the things that we need the most is enough staff, but that's got to be funded, right?
Right, and this is the bill I was talking about that went forward on Friday. That's what they're talking about, specific units to assist along the border and specifically handle these issues and let others go do their jobs. For instance, let the state police go do their jobs and let this unit do that. Joe Frank is a good personal friend of mine. We work together. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do things up there. And he's having the same issues as I am. His terrain is harder than mine. I have a lot of soft land, ranch lands. His surface, his terrain is this hard. It's not like mine.
Yeah, his terrain's rugged, right?
That's correct. So that makes a lot of difference on those people filtering through there. It deters.
But your land is a lot more vast, though. You got a much bigger corridor, whatever you want to say, traffic lane or whatever you want to say, right?
Well, absolutely. Our corridor is vast. It's not as easy as it seems on the walk, but yes, it can be very, and it's definitely dangerous. You know, we have accounted for over 900 migrants that have died in New Brooks County alone. I'm pretty much got labeled the undertaker for the state of Texas.
Wow. I wish there was a way for us to force this narrative and force the president to work on this. The people are concerned. The states are concerned. The counties are concerned. We've got to work together on this. We have your back, Sheriff. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association has your back. Brooks County, Texas Sheriff Benny Martinez, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association cares about this issue. CSPOA.org.